Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
If you got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers. It's the first time I've said it right in three services. I told them Hebrews. First service, I said go to the book of November. I don't know what's happening. Go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13 is where we're going to go. We'll dive into this. But man, God's doing great things. Hopefully you're encouraged and excited. I never wanted to be a part of a dead church that always talked about what we hope to do. I would rather sit, pray, wait on the Lord, wait for him to open the doors, and then say this is what we're doing. And so there's a lot of ways, whether it's in the purchasing of this property. I'll say this. God has called us in this season. I really feel like the thing I feel like resounding like in my own heart is God has called us to take new ground. And I was reminded of the verse where Jesus told the disciples to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and to Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. I believe for us, God is leading us in that season right now. I think it's represented in the things that he's doing. I believe the Jerusalem God is calling us to invest in is this building here, and getting to purchase this building and having a local place for people to come in and gather, be equipped and encouraged. I believe the Judea part, the community part, is this garden that God has opened the door for. I believe that's another area of new ground God is leading us into this season. And I believe the uttermost parts of the earth is the sound of worship that God is going to release through this house. And so I'm just believing the Lord for just a threefold response to new ground. I'm believing that he's going to provide supernatural provision as we raise money to buy this, as we invest in this garden in the community, and as we release the sound to the nation. So man, I'm pumped. I don't care whether you are or not. I'm jacked up because I know that I'm just like, God is doing so many great things. And I feel honored to get to be a part of it. Honestly, that's how I feel. I just feel honored to get to be a part of it. All right, Numbers 13. I'm gonna talk to you today for just a few moments briefly, if you'll give me the chance. I want to talk around this idea. If you are taking notes, this is kind of the title of this time together. The title is this: The Problem with Patience. The problem with patience. I think there's a problem with patience. Have you ever, testify about my life for a minute here. Anytime I begin to pray and I ask the Lord to help me with something, it's almost like he immediately then begins to test me in that area. You ever prayed for faith and then every scary thing that could ever happen begins to happen simultaneously? It's like the Lord didn't even wait for you to say amen. Like as soon as you're like, Lord, increase the faith in my life, he's like, okay, your car just broke down and you have no money. I'll get a bike, whatever it is. It's, we have these moments. And I think it happens a lot with patience. A lot of us pray often and regularly about patience, boldness, and faith. We're like, Lord, give us more faith. God, give me more patience. God, give me more boldness. And we kind of pray in this area, but it seems like every time I pray around God increasing the patience inside of my life, almost every time it immediately begins to be under attack. Almost every time, I immediately begin to get resistance and pushback about what's happening. And then I begin to question myself and second guess myself, like, did I do this? Did I bring it on myself? Maybe it was like, my charismatic upbringing that, if you looked at a Harry Potter book too long, you were cursed or something. I don't know. And I was like, I should have never shook that magic eight ball. You begin to think, whatever. My mom was right about Pokemon. You begin to spiral that you've created this scenario. And all of those things are ridiculous, right? But we begin to, we immediately go there. What did I do? Maybe I shouldn't have stepped on that crack. I did break my mama's back. We get this weird feelings that I created this scenario. I'm responsible for what's happened in my own heart and life. And it's funny because every time we begin to pray for these things, especially patience, there almost immediately begins to be pushback. And we don't really know what to do with it. And I want to talk a little bit about the problem with patience. I think there is a problem with patience. And not in the sense that God has not called us to have patience, not in the sense that patience is not a biblical response to life. God has actually called us to operate and live in patience. We're going to look at it in James, and he talks about it in many other places in the Word, about being patient as a believer and being long-suffering. So patience is near to the heart of the Lord, but yet there seems to be this problem with it. Seems to be something that just always is a bit of a hindrance as we begin to try to walk in this patience. The problem is what makes it difficult. It's what makes patience difficult, but it's not what makes it unnecessary. Just because being patient is difficult doesn't mean that patience is unnecessary inside of our life. Just because faith requires some blind steps doesn't mean that faith is not needed or necessary in my life. Just because God is leading us into difficult moments does not mean that God is absent from those moments. Can I encourage you with something today as a believer? Just really, I think this will change your life, is that if we could begin to reprogram, allow the Holy Spirit to begin to reprogram our brain from thinking that every time we experience resistance, it means that the Lord is absent. Every time pressure begins to build in my life, it means that God is not there. Every time that I can see a problem, it means that I need to take a detour and go an alternate route. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina for a couple days this week, and we were coming back, and I made the bad decision to drive home. You know, Bethany's like, we should stay another night. We're having so much fun, and we don't have the kids, and like your mom's got them, everything's good, we should stay. I was like, no, let's get back, you know, and for no reason. Worst call I've ever made. About an hour into the drive, we come to a dead stop for like 2 hours. We pull back into Pensacola at 3 a.m. And if you've ever been on a road trip and you get anywhere at 3 a.m., everybody's frustrated. Like, no one's like, I'm so glad to be here. Everyone's like, get me out of the car. Like, just let this. And it was a horrible decision. I made this horrible decision to drive back. And it's funny because, like, as you sit there and you're waiting in that delay, trying to be patient, it's hard because the longer you wait, the more you're like, what is happening? At first, you're like, oh, maybe there's a wreck. Let's pray. And then like 30 minutes go by, and like, if it's not a wreck, I'm gonna be so mad. And then it goes on, you're like, whatever it is, just move. Just move. I don't care what it is, just let me go. It's because the pressure begins to build and our patience begins to diminish. Really, I think we could say this. The true problem with patience is the pressure. The problem with patience is not whether or not it should be active inside of our life. God has called us to be patient. God has called us to develop patience, to be long-suffering with people, with ourselves, with seasons. He's called us to these things, but the problem with it is the pressure that it creates. Because the more that it begins to create pressure, the more that pressure begins to reveal weakness inside of my heart and life. Look with me in Numbers 13, verse 25. This is after exploring the land for 40 days. This is the children of Israel. They had just left Egypt. They had been slaves in Egypt for decades. And they Moses and Aaron were leading them out of Egypt into the promised land. God said, look, I'm taking you from this place of captivity. I'm going to lead you into this promise. They're all amped and excited. They get to the edge of the promised land and they send spies into the land to survey what's going on before they take the entire nation in. That's kind of where we are here in verse 25. It says, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. It says, they reported to the whole community what they had seen and they showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. That's so important. It says that they showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. They said, this was the report that they gave to Moses. They said, we entered the land that you sent us to explore, and indeed it is a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey, and here's all the kinds of fruit that it produces. Verse 28 says, but the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. You see it right here. You can see the patience they waited for this land for years in captivity. They were waiting for the promise of God. They were waiting for the exile. They were being patient, 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 patient. And then they get to the point where God is leading them into the promise that he has for them, and they begin to experience some resistance, and the pressure that they were experiencing begin to expose weaknesses inside of their own heart and life. We have this, God's blessed us with this building, and it's been phenomenal. But it's funny because an older building like this, you go try to chase down the things that are broke, and it's like chasing a rabbit. Like, so we've got a very extensive sprinkler system on the property. There's like 14 different zones of the sprinkler system. And for the last like 2 or 3 months, we've been trying to get the sprinkler system right. And every time we'll fix one thing and we think that's the thing, something else will break. And the problem is that the pressure that the line is creating, because it's been void of pressure for so long, that now filling the lines back up again has revealed all of the weaknesses. The other day, some of the guys were out there and they were working on it and trying to get it in the box that's right outside of the shop there so the plants could be automatically watered. And we got it, you know, so we're like celebrating, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this is so great. Like, look at us. Like, wow, high-fiving ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, man, we're so good at this. And then sure enough, right about that moment, all of a sudden a geyser of water just shot out from the ground. There was no sprinkler head there. There was no valve there. It was just literally a weak spot in the pipe just caused an eruption of water to come shooting from the ground. And that's exactly what pressure does in our life, is it begins to reveal the weaknesses that we have inside of our heart and life, and it begins to expose the areas that need to be healed. Is it possible today that the pressure that you're experiencing is not a problem that God is trying to remove from you, but it's really something that he's allowing to take place so that you can see the areas in your life that need to be healed and made whole? Like, we saw after we got that fixed, we realized that if you go over to the water meter for the sprinkler, you can see there's a little like leak indicator on the meter. The little leak indicator is spinning, but there's no water coming out anywhere, which means it's leaking internally, it's leaking underground. And finally, a little oasis developed in the grass where all the water was leaking out. But I believe often in our lives, we're doing the same thing. What God has created to come from us is just leaking inside of us because of our own wounds, because of our own pain, because of our own insecurity. And what should be a resource and a blessing and life that comes from who we are, it winds up being trapped inside of us because we're not healed and whole in our own heart and life. The pressure is the problem. Because the pressure reveals what in my life needs to change, what in my life needs to be mended, what in my life needs to become whole again, what needs to be made right. And sin again, pressure reveals the weakness. And I'll say this, is that patience kind of is like that sprinkler system where it's the system in our life that waters our faith. Patience is so important because patience requires faith. It's that in the absence of what I see right now, I believe that God is still good. And while I still wait, I believe that God is faithful. While I sit here, I believe that God is still at work. Even though I don't see him working, I believe that he's working. Patience waters the system. It's the system that waters the faith of God inside of my own heart and life. So I want to give you a few things today that if we're going to talk about developing patience in my life so that I can be built in my faith, there's a few things I think we can see in the scripture that are going to be really critically important to us. Number one is this. Number one, we're going to begin to water this in our life, we're going to begin to water that patience, we have to understand this point, is that every problem contains purpose. Every problem in your life contains purpose. Not some of them, not the godly ones, not the ones that seem religious or the ones that you like. Every problem in your life contains purpose. There's not a single thing that you face that is void of the purpose of God. There's not a single thing that you face that's outside the hand of God. There's nothing in your life that is just a throwaway that you walk through for no reason whatsoever. Every problem in your life that you face, it contains purpose. The issue with us and the issue with me is that I often think that when I begin to experience a problem or I begin to experience this pressure, it's somehow punishment for what I've done. It's punishment for who I am. It's punishment for not reading my Bible enough. It's punishment for not praying hard enough. It's punishment for not singing louder during that song. It's punishment when really it's not punishment, but it's God trying to reveal an area inside of us that needs to grow. In the same way that these pipes have been leaking all across this yard, those are just indications of areas that need to be healed and areas that need to be fixed and mended so that it can function and operate correctly. There's a divine function inside of you that God has called to have flow through you. And if I can begin to tune my ear and I can begin to be patient in this pressure, then I can begin to see the areas inside of my life that are leaking, that need to be healed and restored by the hand of God and by what he's doing. I love this. Look down with me in verse 27. When they said this was their report to Moses, they said, "We've entered the land that you sent us to explore, and indeed it is a bountiful country. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And here are the kinds of fruits that it produces. But the people who are living there are large and they're powerful. They have fortified cities." Isn't it funny? Because God promised them that he would lead them to a land of provision. He promised that he would lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey. He promised that he'd lead them to a land where there would be an abundance of resource and supply for them. They were holding the literal fruit of victory. The thing God had promised, they were holding in their hand, but still all they could see was the pressure surrounding them. Still all they could see was the problem that they were facing. They were holding victory while focusing on the problem they saw. Is it possible today that in our own lives, we're holding the fruit of victory, but in our soul, we're folding under the weight of pressure? Like we've got the sign, we've got the signal, we've got the proof in our hand that God is moving in our heart and life. But because there's some resistance, because there's some waiting, because there's not an immediate response of God, we think maybe he's not coming, maybe he's not there, maybe he doesn't love me anymore. And we begin to reel through all the scenarios in our head, and where we should be viewing the victory that God has given us, we begin to set our eyes on the pressure that we're feeling, and we can't see the victory any longer. And our life and our faith begins to diminish and to diminish and to diminish. Every problem in your life that you face today contains purpose. Every single problem. And as soon as I can begin to look at life through the lens of understanding, you know what? Maybe where I'm facing is not the punishment of God, but maybe it's the pressure God is trying to build inside of me. Like, don't go praying that you want God to stretch you and give you more faith. And then when you begin to get stretched, you get uncomfortable with the whole scenario. You're like, Lord, stretch me. And you're like, Lord, I didn't know it'd be like this much stretching though. I was thinking more like Tuesdays and Wednesday afternoons, somewhere between 1 and 3 p.m. And then like, no, when we begin to pray and say, Lord, use me. He begins to examine our life, not to find fault so that we will be disqualified, but so he can find the areas that need to be healed so that we can be used effectively and fully for the kingdom of God. I believe if we could begin to change our perception about what God is, there was a theological viewpoint that came out of the Dark Ages, which was, you ever heard somebody refer to God as the big man upstairs? That's actually a Dark Ages theological thought that came out because it began to create a separation between us and God, how God is somehow the parent upstairs who's listening for the kids down below to break something so that he can come down and punish them for what they've done wrong. God isn't separated from us. We're not asking God to come live in our world. We're already living in God's world. He wants to reveal things in our life, not to disqualify you, but to heal you. He wants to reveal things inside of your life so that you can be made whole and actually begin to function the way Christ has called you to function. These people who paid all this money to lay this whole sprinkler system across this yard didn't do it just so that it could leak all over the place. And then be like, you know what? You're right. This is a bunch of leaky pipes around here. No, they did it so that it could serve a purpose, so that it could bring life and it could bring nourishment to the soil that it was placed in. Man, it's the same way in our own heart and life. God didn't create you so that he could just find the error inside of you. He created you so that you could be healed and you could be whole and you could begin to give away the goodness of God that he's placed in your own heart and life. They were holding on to the fruit of victory, but they folded under the pressure of their reality. Man, there's a big difference between our reality and the reality of the kingdom of God. Our reality is connected to what we see in the natural. His reality is connected to what's happening in the kingdom. My reality cannot dictate my life. His reality has to be what is dictating my life. Okay, number two. Number two is this, that unity is necessary. Unity is necessary. Can I tell you this? You were not meant to go alone. In this life, you were not meant to go alone. God created you to go with others. He created you to walk with others. He created you to have relationships with others. But one of the first areas that begins to crack in our own heart and life under pressure is the area of relationships. Can I encourage you this? Any area or any relationship that you have unforgiveness towards right now, you need to mend and heal as quickly as possible. Forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. That was my biggest takeaway from our heart rehab series we did at the beginning of the year. Forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. We talked about that a little bit last week. I can forgive somebody without allowing that person back in my life. Doesn't mean they have to have the same access they had before. It's not forgive and forget. That's nowhere in the Bible. The Bible only says that there's one person who can forgive and forget, and that's the Lord himself. And last time I checked, you and I are not the Lord. So I can still remember almost everything that has ever been done wrong to me, and definitely everything that felt traumatic. Your memory is not connected to whether or not you have forgiven that individual. But for us to be able to be patient under the pressure, we've got to deal with the unforgiveness inside of our own heart and life. And if I could encourage you with anything as your pastor, please deal with the unforgiveness that you have. We're not forgiving them so that we can get something from them. We're not forgiving them so that they will then say, you know what, I was right. You're right. I was a horrible person. I'm so sorry. Like, you're totally. That's not why I'm forgiving. I'm forgiving them because the biblical word for forgiveness is this word of untying them. I refuse to carry them with me from every season to every season. It's like if you put your thumb on them. Forgiveness is putting your thumb on somebody. There's only so far, I can only get an arm length away from them. As much as I leave them right there, and I think that I've won because I'm holding them, I'm refusing them forgiveness, all I'm doing is staying connected to them because I can only ever get so far away. But forgiveness gives me the opportunity to untie them. Whatever their response is, that's between them and the Lord. Whatever they choose to do with what I say is between them and the Lord. But I will let them go. I'm not going to hold on to them because it's not hurting them. It's only hurting you. Number two is this, is that unity is necessary. You were not meant to go it alone. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to walk and live in unity? I think unity is one of those things we throw around as Christians that we don't really ever know what it means. Like, brothers, we should be more unified, but like, we don't really know. Does that mean we go out and eat more? Is that what it means? No, that's not what it means. It means these three things I can find from this story. Number one, if you're going to walk in unity, you have to move fast. I love that Caleb says this. He begins to hear what's going on. Like, he begins to hear the negative report. And they're like, look, there's fruit. There's victory. Yeah, everything God promised is there, but there's giants. There's people. There's fortified cities. Like, he began to hear the complaints. He began to see them beginning to erode under the pressure of patience, right? Like, he sees all these things happening. And then Caleb responds like this in verse 30. He says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he said, let's go at once to the land. Let's go right now. We're not going to wait about it. We don't need to think about it. We don't need to pray for 6 weeks about it. We don't need to do a capital campaign on raising money for it. He said, let's go right now. You ever been in that spot where you have one of those little seed thoughts hit your brain where it's like just one tiny little crazy thought about yourself, and then you wind up spending the next 6 hours obsessing over that? That one little thought, that one little thing, one little inkling of an idea hit your brain, and it derailed the rest of your day. And then for some of us, that's best case scenario. Some of us, it derails our weeks, months, or even years of our life. Because we allowed one little moment where the pressure began to erode away at our patience. We begin to allow that to take root and it began to alter our entire life. Unity is necessary, but for unity to happen, you have to move fast. Caleb understood, if we just stay here sulking in our own frustration, if we just stay here sulking in our own reason and rationale, we're never going to enter into the promised land. You understand that every single person that left Egypt, none of them made it into the promised land. They all died in the wilderness. They all died in the wilderness. Why? Not because God was a vengeful God, but because of this moment right here. He led them to the doorstep of their promise. They came back with victory in their hand, but they begin to cripple themselves under the pressure of being patient. Well, Lord, I know you called me to this, but Lord, I didn't know there'd be any kind of resistance whatsoever. I thought people would welcome me into the, you know, you ever been to a church before where like they have the signs, like little square signs, like, we're so glad you're here. Or like a greeter, like that's almost like what the children of Israel expected, right? They would get to the edge of the promised land. Someone would greet them, say, we're so glad to have you today at the promised land. Come on inside. We've got a help desk over here in the corner. Got coffee on the other side. Make yourself at home. We're glad you're here. Like that's almost what they expected. But then when there was any kind of pushback, when the pressure began to build, they thought, well, this can't be God. God wouldn't want me to experience pressure. No, he wants to reveal himself in the pressure of your life, in the midst of all of the things that you feel, in the midst of all of the struggle that you feel, that he's still God and he's still good. It's not that God wants to remove the pressure from us. The worst advice we could ever give a new believer is that, man, now that you've come to the Lord, everything's going to be easier. Look, if you've been saved 6 minutes, you know that's not the case. It's not that everything gets easier. It's that now you are connected to the life inside of you that no matter how difficult it gets, you will not be overcome by that weight. No matter how tough it gets, you don't have to fold under that pressure. You can have patience in the midst of your struggle. Number two is this, walk in unity. Number two, we have to begin to speak truth. Here's the reason we speak truth. It's because truth silences fear. And fear is the opposition of faith. It's so important that we deal with the fear in our life because as we deal with the fear in our life, the faith in our life will increase. So Caleb said, look, he's like, guys, we got to go now. Like, if we're going to go, we got to go now. Like this is it. If we are going to go into the promise, we've got to go right now in this moment. We got to move fast and we got to be honest. Now, I believe that unity is about not us having a robotic, unitarian thought across the board where we all think the same thing, we all do the same thing, we all dress the same way, we all like the same food, we all have the same passions. That's what unity is. That's not what unity is. Unity is that we can embrace our unique differences while still being unified in one heart and mind. That our goal is the same, but God, we understand that God has created us all differently to really fully achieve that goal. That you can't be like me and I can't be like you if we're actually going to do what God has called us to do here in this city and in the cities of this earth. Look, I'll continue to say it through the season because I think it's really important, is that we can disagree without being divided. We can disagree without there being disunity. Because I believe that there's so much that's important about you being uniquely who God has called you to be, but if our heart is for the same thing, which is the kingdom of God, then even in our differences, we can still be unified. Even in our different perspectives, in our backgrounds, our passions, we can still be unified because our central figure is not a political party, a social ideal. Our central figure is the kingdom of God, and everything returns back to the kingdom of God. Number three, the third way we walk in unity is we have to begin to build faith. I love where Caleb says at the end of verse 30 there, he said, let's go at once and take the land. He said, we will certainly conquer it. This is why I believe the Lord wants to begin to give you the resilience to withstand the pressure in your life, is because he wants to begin to use you to begin to speak faith to the people around you. He wants to begin to use you to begin to build the people. He said, look, we can conquer this thing. He's like, I know there's giants in the land. I know there's pressure that we're gonna come up against. I know that there's struggles that we're gonna face. I know, I get it. I know we're gonna walk up against some things. I know it's not gonna be easy, but if we go together, we can go successfully. Man, God has called you to walk through life with healthy relationships that are surrounding you, that are encouraging you, that are building you up so that when pressure comes in, you don't cripple under the weight, but you realize and can look around that you've got people who are surrounding you and walking with you into the promise that God has for your heart and life. I'll say this. The only way that they were going to enter the promised land was if everybody was on board. The only way that this church will ever accomplish what we believe God has called us to accomplish is if we are all unified. You're like, that's an impossible goal. We're human. No, it's possible when the centrality of our hope is the kingdom of God. It's like this garden. I was telling somebody, like, I go to the garden. I go over there multiple times a week and just stand there. Like, it's super weird, I know. But I like it. And I'll go stand, I'll putter around, and I'll look at stuff, and I'll move things around. I got the blueprints for it the other day. That was pretty fun. I like blueprints for anything. It's just great. Anytime somebody puts a blueprint in my hand, I know something's moving forward, and I like it. I was looking over the blueprints of it the other day, and, you know, if you walk up to it and you drive past it, you never know. You never see the infrastructure that's there. It just looks like an overgrown lot in a not so great part of town. But when you stop and you actually get in the middle of it and you see what was already built, you realize that the only thing that is blocking your vision is all these weeds. The foundation is still there. The resources are still there. The life is still there. The boxes are still there. The water is still there. It's all still there. It's just been overgrown with all these other things. I believe in our own life, we begin to get frustrated and we begin to get fearful because instead of seeing the foundation that God has already established inside of us, all we see is the weeds that are growing. I was with somebody and they're like, man, this is gonna be a lot of work. I'm like, yeah, it is, but praise God for it. Praise God for it. Because that's the heart of the kingdom of God, is to advance the kingdom of God. Now, I don't need to pray about whether or not God wants us as a church to have a community garden. You know, so I had somebody ask me that, like, you think that's a priority right now, like as a church for you guys to have? Yes, I think it's a priority. Yeah, I think it's a priority. I think it's a priority because there's people in my city who are in need. And I refuse to be the type of church that just cuts checks to other nonprofits who are doing the work that a church should have been doing for a long time. Nothing wrong with cutting somebody a check, and praise God for those ministries who stepped up and those nonprofits who stepped up and filled the gaps that the church left behind in the late 20s through the early 40s. But like, praise God for them, but that doesn't mean that it's just my responsibility just to just because it's the way it's always, doesn't mean it's the right way to do it. Just because something is the way that it's like, well, it's just the way, you know, I hate when people say that kind of stuff. Like, well, it's just the way I was raised. That doesn't make it right. What is that? Okay. Maybe you had horrible parents. I don't know. Like, I'm just kidding. But like, you know what I mean? Like, What is that? What is that? You hear it and say, oh, this is the way I was raised. It's, you know, it's not hate, it's heritage. Oh, whatever, shut up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, probably can't say shut up on the podcast. Oh, well. You know what I mean? Like, we say these things. It was a different time then. What does that matter? What does that mean? It doesn't mean that it reflects God's heart. It doesn't mean it reflects God's passion. It doesn't mean it reflects who God is. Just because that's what society said was normal doesn't mean that's what's normal in the kingdom of God. And we've got a responsibility not to adhere to what society says is right, but what the kingdom of God says is right. And if there's people inside of my city who need to be fed, I can't feed everybody, but I can feed somebody. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And I believe that's where something has to build inside of our heart. It says, you know what? Unity is necessary here. It's not that we're all identical, but it's that we all agree that something needs to be done. And if we go into it with a loving heart that says, God, I believe that you want to meet this need, then I believe that he has given us each creative ideas to begin to pour into the pot so that we can begin to see those needs met. Let me give you the third and final thing so we can go to lunch. Number three. I will say this, though, that pressure always tests unity. Anytime you begin to have pressure build in your life, it always attacks unity. And it typically always attacks relational unity. Anytime pressure begins to build, you're like, they didn't like me. They overlooked me. They should have known I wouldn't want to do that. How would they have known you wanted to do that? I've always wanted to have a garden. They should have known. They should have given me the garden. Okay. I don't know. Like, if you want a garden, come go weed the garden at T Street and Strong Street. You know what I mean? Like, anytime we begin to experience that pressure that comes with waiting, which is patience, begins to test that unity that we have with the people around us. God wants to develop that and strengthen that in our life. Number three is that prayer rejects earthly limitations. If I'm going to water faith in my life through the development of patience, I've got to use prayer as a tool to reject earthly limitations. Culture says this. Well, that's not what the kingdom says. My family says this. Well, that's not what the Lord says. My past says this. You know, our past often in our soul speaks about our future. But our past often feeds us lies about who we could ever become. It's like, you know how many things you've done wrong? You know how many people you slept with? Yeah. You know how many times you said you wouldn't and then you did? And what really are you going to do? Your best shot is to work in the parking lot at a church. Like, that's it. What? You kidding me? God has so much purpose inside of you. But we have to use prayer as the weapon to push back on the lie of the enemy. I'm not going to make him abort this. I'm not going to allow the pressure I feel to make me abort this season. I'm not going to rush something that God is saying to wait in. I'm not going to run away from something that God is saying to be still in this moment. I'm going to allow this season of waiting and patience to reveal the areas inside of me that need to be healed and made whole. Prayer rejects earthly limitations. Because when prayer is not present in our life, there's a couple things that begin to be developed or begin to grow inside of us. When prayer is not present, we begin to be dull. We begin to be dull. Should our life, the light of God inside of us, just becomes dim? It's like the scripture that Jesus talks about. He says, why would you hide your light under a basket? The light that comes from you begins to be dulled by a lack of prayer. Because then life is more about me reasoning and understanding and figuring out my season rather than submitting my season and being encouraged by the ministry of the Holy Spirit back to me, that even though I might not have the answers, he does. Even though I might not see the way out, he does. Even though I might not see where the resources come from, he's already got them because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Like, he's got this. My life becomes dull when I become separate from prayer. Second thing is that as I become separate from prayer, the more dull my spirit becomes, the more distant I grow in my relationship with him. It's funny to me when people say they just don't hear the voice of the Lord. They never spend time in prayer. God speaks to you through the place of prayer. Maybe you didn't know that today. If so, I want to encourage you with this. God speaks to you through the place of prayer. prayer is important because that's where the voice of the Lord is revealed to you. Actually, if you begin to study the scripture and what it talks about the voice of the Lord, it never really refers to the voice of the Lord as a booming, loud, intrusive voice, but it refers to it as a whisper and as a still, small voice. And it says that, I love the verse where it says that he wasn't in the fire and he wasn't in the thunder, but he was in the whisper. He's in the whisper. And if I'm not listening and tuning my ear to the prayer of God, then I begin to be distant and further from him. And then what begins to manifest in my life is that then as a believer, I become dangerous. Become dangerous. I believe it's what the Bible talks about where strange fire is built inside of us. The Bible refers to someone as having strange fire, as someone who has the knowledge of God, but no power thereof. You know what that means? You've got experience, but no tangible relationship. No ongoing relationship. You got a bunch of information about it. Just enough to hurt you and hurt the people around you. Because the knowledge of God without a relationship with God creates a strange manipulation and mutation of who he really is. Because then I begin to take godly principles and I weigh them against my own opinion rather than on the truth of the kingdom. And then everything begins to be distorted. Prayer is the tool of the believer to bring change in their environment. And can I encourage you today that when we begin to pray, and we're men and women of prayer, prayer begins to be the weapon that we use to change the season that we're in. Prayer begins to be the weapon that we use to strengthen ourselves when we feel the pressure increasing. Strengthen ourselves when we begin to feel the weight increasing. Strengthen ourselves when we don't know, but we know God has called me to be patient. I don't know where he's leading me. I don't know what the next thing will look like. I don't know. But I do know this. I know he called me here. So I know if he's called me here, then I'm going to be committed to prayer because that's the only way I'm going to survive where I am. A lot of believers get left behind, not because they weren't good enough, but because somewhere in their life, they stopped prioritizing prayer, and they just begin to think more, and they begin to think more about the why is this happening? And they try to come up with their own ideas and their own reasoning. Maybe God's punishing me, or maybe God doesn't like me, or maybe I've just done too many things wrong. No, God's trying to show you the pressure in your life. It's showing an area of weakness. It's showing an area that you're leaking in your soul that he wants to heal. So really what his whole purpose is, the whole purpose of the sprinkler system in this front yard is not to contain water, but it's to release water. It's to begin to water the things around. Your whole purpose as a believer is not just to contain the things of God, but to be healthy and whole so that you can begin to give these things away so that everybody who comes in contact with you, so you can be like Caleb. So you can look at the situation and be like, look, man, look, hey, I know there's giants in the land, but man, there's also victory in the land. And if we go right now, and if we go together, we can do far more than we could have ever imagined. Can I encourage you today with the word of the Lord that is for you? If you will go with somebody and you'll go right now, God has already given you the victory in your other hand. Like, yes, there's a problem. Yes, there's pressure. Yes, God is asking you to be patient, but he's revealing in the same time that he's already given you the victory for the season. They couldn't see the victory because they were distracted by the giants. You go to that garden today, it might be easy to overlook about $150,000 worth of paver brick that runs on the ground because of all the weeds that are everywhere. Because our flesh always loves to identify the issue. A lot of weeds in here. Yeah, but there's hundreds of thousands of dollars of infrastructure under the ground. And if I can just remove the weeds, life can return again. If you can remove the weeds, man, life will return again. Be patient, man. Be patient in this season. Don't rush it. Don't eject from this season. But just say, you know what, God, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm gonna stay here. We're gonna go together. We're here. I know that there's some pressure. I know it's not gonna all get worked out immediately. But you know what? I know this is the place that God has called me to. Can we stand all across the room today? I want to close with this in prayer. just with every head bowed and every eye closed, could you help me and pray with me today? I don't want to just pray at you, but I want to pray together as a body. Father, we thank you today for what you're doing. God, we thank you today, Lord, that the pressure that we're experiencing in our life, the moments that we feel, the problems that we feel, Lord, are just revealing the work that you want to do inside of us. Father, they're not going to crush us. They're not going to overwhelm us. They're not going to destroy our life. But Lord, they're indications of your purpose. They're actually indications, Lord, that we're right where you're calling us to be. So Father, we'll rest in that. God, we'll lean in that. Father, we thank you that you're surrounding us, God, with men and women who love us. God, with men and women who are building us up. God, with a church family and a church body who's moving with the same heart and the same mind to see you impact our city and the cities beyond our border, Father. God, we thank you today for what you're doing. God, we thank you today for how you're strengthening us today. Lord, don't let us go alone, but Lord, let us be surrounded with men and women, God, who are building and strengthening, God, who are helping us, God, in this season as we walk through it. Father, today we thank you. God, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us, God, the resistance or the resilience, Lord, to remain under the pressure. Lord, as long as it takes, Father, we'll be faithful. Lord, we'll wait on you. God, we want to move when you move. God, we want to go where you go. And Father, today we give you praise and honor. Lord, we give you glory today for what you're doing. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.